I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I realized the importance of self-care. Whether that's a 5 kilometer run, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5 minute dip in the sea, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. This season, I've teamed up with Spotlight Oral Care. I know how important oral health is to our overall health and how we really need to look after our teeth and gums by using the best products. I've been using the Spotlight Oral Care Water Flosser. It removes bacteria from deep between the teeth and below the gum line, where traditional brushing and flossing cannot reach, while stimulating gums to improve circulation. Paired with my Sonic toothbrush, I love that it gives me a professional feel clean at home. Use discount code GOODGLOW25 at spotlightoralcare.com to get 25% off the entire range. Hello, thank you so much for tuning in to the Good Glow podcast. Thank you so much to everyone new who has joined the Good Glow community. We've lots of new listeners in this third lockdown. So thank you so much for coming on this journey with me and being so nice and sending me such lovely messages. It's been quite the season already. I'm still getting messages from my podcast with Jerry Hussey. I think that was so needed at this time. And we had such personal stories then from Dara Quilty, Dominique Nugent, Shannon Joyce, Nicola Lavin, and Rachel Drury. So this week, I wanted to bring a little bit of sunshine to the Good Glow, and that is why I asked Jess Redden to be my guest this week. Jess has relocated to Australia. She moved over to Australia temporarily with her fiance Rob Carney, who is playing rugby over there. And we all followed Jess's journey as she left Ireland and had to quarantine in a hotel room in Australia for 2 weeks, couldn't open any windows. And she took us all on that little trip with her and provided so much entertainment. Jess is studying to be a pharmacist. She's hugely knowledgeable when it comes to that side of things. So we touch on that. We talk about her own self-care, her love for healthy food, her love of life, and most of all, her love for her family. Jess lost her dad last summer, and I know that she's still processing that grief and trying to navigate it. One thing that I know for sure about Jess Redden is the love that she has for her sisters and her mum and her dad. And it's so evident in this podcast how much of a home bird she really is at heart, but she is excited to be on this adventure at the moment. And we also speak about how she might set up her own pharmacy in Australia someday because she just loves it over there so much. So I hope you enjoy this episode. If you are out for a walk or cooking the dinner, I hope you are well today. And thanks again for tuning in. Jess, welcome to the Good Glow podcast.
Hi, Georgie. Thank you so much for having me on. I've been listening to your podcast for ages now. Obviously, my sister did it before and she was fantastic. So thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, your sister, Cara Harriet. And I actually went to college with your other sister, Susie Redden. So we're so connected in so many ways. First of all, you've moved to Australia temporarily and you went off in the middle of lockdown to relocate for 6 months. And who knew that 2 weeks in a hotel room could be so entertaining for everybody in Ireland? But you really flourished during that time and kept us all entertained when we were locked down in our houses.
Yeah, like I have to say, when I was on the plane, I kind of said to myself, okay, like I hadn't thought about it too much beforehand, being in a room, not being able to open a window. I wasn't aware of that before we landed and having no choice in your meals or anything. But I wanted to go into it with a positive attitude. So I did make that decision before it all kicked off. And I have to say it was an experience for sure. And I think I've grown so much as a person, even just from going through that.
At what point did you find out that you wouldn't be able to open a window, you wouldn't be able to go outside? I mean, you really, I suppose, had to mentally prepare yourself for that.
So it was only when we landed in Brisbane. So we had to fly Dublin to Doha, then Doha to Brisbane. And then you're greeted by the policemen in Brisbane Airport. And then they tell you where you're going, and that, you know, you might be in a facility that might not have access to a balcony or to an opening window. So then we get on the bus and you still have no idea where you're going. And unfortunately, we were in one of the facilities that didn't have any balconies.
Oh my God, it's like one of those package holidays in the 80s where you just get on the bus at the airport and you're like waiting to see what your apartment's going to be like. Yeah. So did that time drag for you those 2 weeks?
No, not at all. Like in a weird way, it was kind of therapeutic. You know, you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to be anywhere. So it was time to just catch up with yourself and obviously catch up with each other. But it was, I don't regret it in any way. And I'm kind of glad in a strange way that we did have to do that before this experience, because it's just, it was so worth it.
You're living a beautiful life now and you're taking us all on that journey with you. And I like to ask people about God winks on this podcast. So like the last time everything lined up perfectly and they just took a second and really had gratitude for the moment. Was your last God wink when you got out of that hotel?
Yes, I remember it so well, because I didn't sleep a wink the night before, because we could leave technically at 12 midnight. But we waited until 6 a.m. like more, you know, normal people, we would have just been on the street waiting for our flight. So we woke up and just breathing fresh air for the first time in 14 days was incredible.
Did you just take a moment outside? Like, what did you do when you left the hotel?
I felt quite emotional. I was a bit teary. It was a nice day because the previous 2 weeks, probably, which was a good thing, it was quite grey outside, it was cloudy. So it would have been worse if we were looking out of, you know, blissful sunshine. But then the day that we got released, you know, it was just so clear. It was a beautiful day. And I just remember looking up and just being so grateful and excited for what was to come ahead.
You went through a lot in 2020. And I know that you've got such an incredibly close relationship with your mum. It's gorgeous to see. And I think I have a similar relationship with my mum. Best friends. Couldn't even imagine, you know, what it would be like if I had to move to the other side of the world. And you lost your dad in 2020. And you kind of, you took us along with you in explaining the ups and downs of losing your best friend and what that meant for you guys as a family. So it must have been really hard to leave your mum.
Extremely hard. And to be honest, there was so many times where I wasn't going to come just because I didn't want to leave her. I'd been so used to just being by her side, especially the last couple of months. So dad passed away in September, and from September until the date we left, I spent every waking moment with her. We did everything together, we were sleeping in the same bed together. So it was really, really hard decision, but I know it's the decision that dad would have wanted, and that mom wanted for me as well. And it's the best decision that I've ever made, because, you know, in one way we get our independence a little bit as well, and I'm so excited to go home and see her, but she's able to kind of vicariously live through us as well. And of course, with FaceTime and everything, I'm able to talk to her and chat to her all the time.
And you spoke recently about how you kind of looked online for grief support and you didn't come across too many options for you. How are you processing your grief? Like, it's still just so recent.
Yeah, well, I think for me, I was someone, so I lost my granny a couple of years ago and I never really talked about it. I just ignored it, which can be a coping mechanism that a lot of people do. They just kind of bury it away somewhere and then in years to come, it might just explode. And there is no right or wrong way to grieve. But I will say that one of the best things that I've utilized is talking. So this time around, the difference is that I'm talking all of the time. I'm talking to my friends, my family, I'm talking to dad. You know, I'll be at the beach and I'll just say, oh, isn't this just great? And it's really helping me. Obviously, I have my days where I just want to switch off from everything and just cry. And I need those days. And I think the difference now where I am in my life, I don't feel guilty for that. So I used to, like the prime examples, how many times have we gone out, had too many drinks, and the next day we think, oh God, I've so much anxiety and fear, I'm never drinking again. Whereas now I'll allow myself to feel that way, but I won't have any guilt attached to it. So I'm trying to dissociate those two feelings. So letting the anxiety and the sadness come, but not feeling ashamed or embarrassed for it.
You're clearly figuring this all out as you go. As I said, it's been so recent, but you've spoken about how the person we lost never truly leaves us and they would want us to keep going. So do you kind of have these conversations with your dad where you're imagining what he might be saying to you, encouraging you to go to Australia and get on with your life?
Well, the thing is with my dad, I know everyone thinks their dad is special, but my dad really was just the most incredible man, and he just loved life so much. And I think that really bounced off all of us, you know, off my mom, off me and my sisters. And I know that he would not want me to not come to Australia and not take these opportunities, because he was such a support for me all through growing up and all through my studies and everything else. And I know if I didn't come over here and take this opportunity, it would be a disservice to him because he would have jumped at it. So yeah, I've spoken about rippling before and how all of those positive attributes that the person that you love that's now gone, even though they're physically gone, they can still live on through you.
And do you hear from people who, from you being so open about it, that you're helping, because you've built a gorgeous community on Instagram?
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, it's bi-directional because it's really helping me too. Like, I was so nervous the first time that I came out and spoke about it because I didn't really see too many people speaking about it. And you know yourself, you always just want to be kind of accepted by people. Like, that's just human nature. So I was quite overwhelmed at the response initially of how supportive people were. So I know that I'm helping people by speaking out and saying what helps me, but I think people don't understand that they're helping me too by bringing the kindness back as well.
And you're just there for 6 months in Australia. I mean, when are you coming home? Is the time going too fast at the moment for you?
We literally every single day before we go to sleep, I'm like, no, we need to just push pause, because we're how many months in now? March, so 2.5 months we've been gone, and I'll be coming back in May to finish my studies. And yeah, oh, I'd love to come back though. It's an incredible country.
So will you be coming back alone then, because you've kind of committed to something here in Ireland? What's left of your studies?
So I had to defer my degree. I'm in my master's year now, so my final year, thank God. But I was supposed to do an 8-month placement starting in January. There was a lot of kind of balls up in the air for me. Like, I didn't want to leave mum. I didn't want to postpone my course. But then, you know, I made the decision to come over and the college facilitated that. So now I will be coming home and finishing my 8-month placement and finally qualifying.
Yeah, you've put so many years into your studies. What are you studying to become?
So at the moment, I am finishing my pharmacy degree.
Wow. You've got so many self-care techniques, and I suppose you've studied for so many years that you, I suppose, know all the best ways to look after yourself. So what are some of your self-care techniques?
I suppose for me, for such a long time, I was so focused and invested solely on physical health. So diet, nutrition, and exercise, sleep. But I really neglected my mental health. And the two, you know, really work synergistically. You need to have good mental health in order to have good physical health. So for example, you know, when you feel really nervous and you can feel that pit in your stomach, that's because you're getting these neurotransmitters from your brain down to your stomach, and you feel that nausea and anxiety. So the same goes for chronic stress, or if you're neglecting your self-care. So there's a reason that for conditions like IBS, the first line treatment is self-care, meditation, yoga, because it creates through the vagus nerve, all of that relaxation, these positive effects in your gut. So your brain sends these chemicals into your gut and it relaxes all the motility, and people who suffer from things like leaky gut syndrome, they can all benefit from relaxing. So I think having more of an understanding about the connection between our brain and our gut has helped me to kind of just slow down a little bit. So I was kind of always someone that burnt the candle at both ends, and that left me quite burnt out myself. But now from kind of slowing down, journaling, doing a bit of yoga, I've definitely gained health benefits from it.
That's really interesting then. So your mental health can have an effect on your gut, not just your physical health.
So vice versa, yeah. So it's a bi-directional thing. So our gut has an effect on our brain. So 70% of our 5-HT, which is our, sorry, I think it's 90%, which is our serotonin, our happy hormone, it's actually made in our gut. So in the brain, the effect of that is it's a mood regulating neurotransmitter, and then in our gut it works to kind of relax everything. So when we're feeling relaxed, that has a positive effect on our gut, and when our gut microbiome is balanced, that has a positive effect on our mood as well. So it's important to look after both.
So what sort of steps do you take then to have a happy, healthy gut?
So I try to eat. It's really easy over here to kind of, you've such greater access to kind of probiotic rich foods. So things like kimchi, sauerkraut, kombucha, like everybody over here has it in their diet, which is probably something we neglect at home. So back home, I do take a probiotic supplement, or else have one of the Yakult drinks in the morning. So that helps to look after your gut. And then I suppose just kind of self-care things that I've started doing in the last couple of months, loving my yoga, which before I kind of would have been someone that always wanted to do a really sweaty workout or HIIT or boxing. But I'm actually getting more benefits from slowing down and doing Pilates, slower movements, yoga, and then trying to decrease my screen time, which can be hard as well. But just things to try and relax my mind.
I've definitely noticed from your stories the variety of healthy food in Australia and all of the options you have. And you speak there about kombucha and things like that. Like, where could we get that in Ireland? Like, what do we need to be looking out for to make sure that we have that happy gut?
So fermented foods. So there's probably not too much spoken about at home about fermented foods. Like over here, they seem to be so well educated in it. But most local supermarkets like Super Value, Tesco, they do have a little fermented section. I know there is one in Super Value. So they have kimchi, sauerkraut, miso is another great one as well. So there is options at home. You just have to kind of look for them a bit more. They're not as readily available, I guess, as they are over here.
Yeah. And kombucha, that's a drink, isn't it? It's kind of like a kind of green tea type of drink.
Yeah, it's a fermented drink. It's actually really nice. I have one brand called Remedy Drinks. They are actually stocked in Super Value because I had so many people asking me, what are these drinks? Because there's like, oh, so many flavors. They're so nice. But they do sell them at home. So they're called Remedy Drinks. Really like those. Oh.
And would you recommend then drinking that once a day?
The kombucha, no. And also just to be mindful with kombucha, it can damage the enamel on your teeth because it's quite acidic. So to have that through a straw. But I would recommend having something like a Yakult every day because it's gentler.
And then in terms of your diet, there's lots of colour on your plate. Do you enjoy cooking? Like, I think for me, when it came to the third lockdown, I was like, I cannot eat the same food that I've been eating in the first two lockdowns again. So I started to kind of experiment a little bit with my healthy food. And there is so many options. Like when I changed my diet back in 2018, I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to be bored. But I think the more you look into it, the more you explore, there's just so many options.
Well, I have always loved experimenting in the kitchen. And both mum and dad would be like, oh my God, what is she making now? Because I'll put the weirdest things. But my mum was always such a great cook and a really great baker. So we always had great variety at home. And then I just love experimenting in the kitchen. Like for me, again, that's probably another tool of self-care. Like I love just making a big mess in the kitchen and just trying out new ingredients and recipes. I'm actually going to do a cooking course in a couple of weeks just to learn a bit more. But it is something that I'm passionate about and that I like. And fueling your body with good food.
And what is that cooking course? Is it a specific kind of healthy one or?
It's actually strangely a vegan one, but only because the girl that I'm doing it with is vegan. I'm not vegan myself. I eat everything, but she's a vegan. So I think it'll be interesting because we're making like, it was gin and tonic glazed donuts and making your own nut milk and just crazy stuff. So I'm looking forward to that.
So talk us through a typical day for you now. You're waking up to glorious sunshine every day. We're all so jealous. Oh. But, you know, what time do you get up? But I know you're an early riser. What does a typical day for you look like?
So I've always been an early riser. And at home, it was so hard to be almost because you wake up and it's dark and it's raining. Whereas here, like you bounce out of bed and everyone is on the beach at 6 a.m. walking their dogs, having a coffee. Like all the shops are open at 6 a.m., which is incredible as well. So I usually get up and do a bit of journaling or reading and then I'd go for a big walk along the beach, which is just so nice. And then my coffee addiction has just really gotten so bad over here. And then I'm so lucky that I've met really lovely people here so far. Like I thought since I was here for such a short time that I wouldn't forge those kind of bonds and relationships that you'd think take years to make. But luckily I have, and we started a little golf group. So we get lessons every Wednesday and then we just go off to the range most days. And then lots of eating out, because the food over here is just next level. And then loads of exploring. Like, we've used our time really wisely, and we've gone to, there's a little island across the way called Rottnest Island, and then we've gone down south and we've done kind of vineyards, and yeah, it's been great. Just lots of exploring and just trying to make the most of each day.
It does seem like you're on an adventure all the time. So when you moved over, did you know any other women over there? Have you got to know people? Do you feel like connected to people?
I didn't know anyone before I came over. I'd kind of been in touch. I was added to kind of, you know, a Partners of Players group. So being me, I like messaged everyone individually. I was like, hey, do you want to grab a coffee? Or do you want to? And, you know, most people would be like, okay, I'm not meeting this weirdo. But, you know, everyone over here was actually just so accommodating, and they wanted to show me everything and take me to new places. So I've just been so happy with how well received like we've both been over here. People have been so kind.
You seem to be very motivated to exercise. Where does that motivation come from? Just asking for a friend.
Well, I guess I started my exercise journey after finishing school, really. Like, during school, I wasn't too fussed about exercising. Like, I did hockey and tennis, but I didn't go to the gym or anything like that. And then I started doing this boxing class, and it was just the connections that I made with people there. And it was something I really wanted to wake up and do every morning before I started my day, because it put me in such a good mood. And then I just got addicted to that high that you feel after you're exercising and the people that you meet along the way. And then, yeah, it's just become a habit now.
I think for me, it's like focusing on how you're going to feel afterwards. I think that's the only way that I can get myself out the door.
I think setting goals is a good way as well, because I know for myself, for something like running, you know, I never used to even be able to run 1 kilometer, whereas I did 14 kilometers in a room a couple of weeks ago. So if you set goals and you have to be patient with yourself, like, that's not going to happen overnight. So if you're training towards a goal, that's a good motivator.
Jamie is definitely has to set himself goals. Like, he'll have a goal for February, a goal for March, and that kind of gets him out the door. We're all different. I mean, we're all trying to juggle a million things and fit in exercise, and often it's the first thing to go, I suppose.
Yeah, and people shouldn't feel bad for that either. Like, we are in a global pandemic, so as long as you're getting your 30 minutes of movement, that could be a brisk walk, that could be yoga, Pilates, you know, you don't have to be constantly doing rigorous exercise. That's actually detrimental to your health. So just everyone needs to find what works for them.
When you talk about your mental health, and obviously with a pandemic, we're all going to be up and down with our mental health at the moment. What sort of tools do you have in place? Like, you've spoken about journaling and writing things down. Does that work for you?
It's a combination of things that works sometimes, but then other times I feel, oh, do you know what? I couldn't be bothered to write down how I feel because I just feel crap. And in those moments, as I kind of spoke about a little bit earlier about having the fear the next morning, I just allow myself to have those days. Like, I had one on Monday where I just felt, do you know what? I'm not feeling very happy today. So I'm going to dissociate from my phone, put it away, not look at it. And I'm just going to let myself feel like this, because I know that the feelings are going to pass. And sure enough, the next day I woke up and I felt like myself again. So I allowed myself to have those negative thoughts and realize that they are just negative thoughts. They're not facts. And, you know, I think reading too much about COVID at the minute, like, that can fuel your anxiety. So sometimes it's a good idea to step away from media and just catch up with friends, catch up with your family, talk to people about how you're feeling, and then do things that you enjoy as well. Walking, baking, eating, watching your favorite show. You know, there is loads of tools that you can use.
I think it's really interesting when you speak about having no phone days. So tell us a little bit more about why you made that decision.
I think because I was putting a lot of pressure on myself to, you know, respond to everybody, because the whole reason I set up my Instagram page and the whole reason I started studying pharmacy was because I just wanted to help people and give back to people. So I feel this kind of need almost to reply to every single person to try and help them, to give advice. But I know I'm only one person and I can't give all of my time to other people, because then I don't have any time for myself. And we all know that expression, put your own oxygen mask on first before helping others. So I know myself, if I'm getting to that point where I'm feeling a bit burnt out, I'll step away from it all and just put it down.
I'm sure as a pharmacist, you get asked all the time about supplements and things that people should be taking. And I know, you know, with COVID, people maybe started taking vitamin D more often. Is vitamin D the kind of non-negotiable supplement that we should be taking every day? And then for other supplements, should we be talking to our GP? Should we be getting blood tests? I think it's kind of a topic that lots of people are really confused about.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one because with vitamin D, I've been plaguing that on my Instagram for years and years of saying everyone should be taking it because there's always been studies linking, you know, certain autoimmune conditions to vitamin D deficiency. And especially back home during the winter months, you know, we don't get enough vitamin D through the sunlight. So everyone should be taking a vitamin D supplement. And then the only other supplement I'd say is a non-negotiable is for women of childbearing age should all be taking folic acid. So I think there's a misconception that only women who are trying to get pregnant need to take folic acid, where in fact the HSE recommend that everyone should because half of pregnancies in Ireland are unplanned and you need 3 months of folic acid in your system for it to be effective. So they're the only two. And then in regards to other supplements, I think, you know, through social media and everything, there can be a bombardment and people think, I need to be taking this and I need to be taking that. If you have a balanced, healthy, varied diet, you're getting your 30 minutes of exercise, you're having probiotics and you're drinking all of your water that you can, you don't need a supplement unless you feel, you know, a certain way. So it's subjective. It depends on what you might be low in iron, if you're feeling really fatigued. So based on what kind of symptoms you have, you can visit your GP, you can visit your pharmacist, and they can, of course, recommend something to you. But the only two I would say is vitamin D and folic acid without getting anything else checked.
Like in terms of your diet, do you stay on a specific diet or are you kind of just trying to fit in as much fruit and veg as you can? Obviously, you said you're not a vegan, you're not a vegetarian or anything.
No, so I kind of just eat what I want. I got into a trap of having kind of almost a too clean diet. So I wasn't having enough carbohydrates, I wasn't having enough fats. And for me, that was just, you know, a normal day. Whereas
another person might
feel they're having too many carbohydrates. Like we're all getting obsessed with a specific diet that we need to be on. But really all we need is to get our fats, our proteins and our carbohydrates.
So in terms of resting, and I've seen you talk about this before, to invest in rest, I think it's a really important thing to highlight. And it's something I suppose I've only recently discovered how important rest, digest and repair mode is in the last couple of years. I think I was in fight or flight mode for maybe 12 years of my life. So talk to us about rest and kind of your techniques around that.
So obviously having a good sleep hygiene, sleep schedule is really important because, yeah, you might be getting into bed at 8 or 9, but if you're not getting good quality sleep, you know, we need sleep for memory consolidation. We need sleep. It's so paramount to our health.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a minute. But first, I wanted to give you an update on my Spotlight Oral Care Teeth Whitening Strips that I've been wearing for an hour a day for 2 weeks. I've been keen to whiten my teeth and have a healthy smile, and I've seen instant results since using them. Spotlight Oral Care has something for everyone. It was founded by two Irish dentists, so you can be rest assured that the products are safe and effective. They're free from toxins, cruelty-free and palm oil-free, and their toothpaste tubes are 100% recyclable. Check out spotlightoralcare.com for more. Now, back to my conversation.
You said before that sometimes the most scenic roads in life are the detours we had never planned. And I think so many people will be able to relate to that. Life just never, ever works out the way we think it's going to. And there's these huge events that happen in our life and they can derail us for a while. But it's so important to know that you can get back on track.
Well, I think for me, so once I finished school, I did psychology for 3 years in UCD. And then, like most people with a bachelor's degree, I was like, what am I going to do now? So I took 2 years out and I decided I wanted to do medicine at first. So I went and sat the GAMSAT, firstly in Dublin, and I'd never done chemistry or physics before. So with the help of my parents, I found a great GAMSAT crash course. And I remember so well, I had booked this trip to Paris with the girls and everything was paid for, accommodation, flights. I was so excited. But then it coincided with the dates for my chemistry camp. So then I had to cancel Paris trip and I did it the science course. And then I went on and sat the GAMSAT, which is a 5-hour grueling exam, and was waiting for weeks for the results. And I found out I didn't get enough points. So I was absolutely devastated. I almost felt quite embarrassed because I'd spent so much time and effort, but then picked myself back up again, the support of my parents. And I said, okay, I'll do it again. So the next sitting was in Birmingham. And it was the first time I had traveled on my own, or I didn't have anyone around me to help me with where to go. I stayed in this dingy little hotel up studying all night. So I sat the GAMSAT again. And then this time around, I thought, okay, I've definitely got it. And then again, was waiting for a couple of weeks, got the results, and I failed again. But I didn't fail. I just didn't get enough points to sit at the, or to do medicine in Dublin. So then I was thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And I decided I wanted to do teaching. And I had done Honours Irish in the Leaving Certs and I'd gotten an A. So I thought, I felt quite confident about the interview. So I went in to St. Pat's, did my Irish oral, and I thought, oh, that was grand. Okay, I'm going to be a teacher. This is great. And then about a week later, I got the letter in the post, TEP, which means fail in Irish. And I just couldn't believe it. It was all those feelings of just disappointment, shame, embarrassment, anger. And I was thinking, why? Like, I've been working so hard. Why isn't this paying off? And I remember so well my dad sitting me down and saying to me, you know, what's meant for you won't pass you by. All of this is a learning curve. And trust me, Jessie, you're going to get to where you need to be. So then I decided I wanted to do pharmacy because I'd been working part-time in a pharmacy. And I just had so much admiration for everything that they did. I think traditionally I thought that all pharmacists did was dispense medications, but they do so much more than that. So then dad took me to my pharmacy interview in RCSI. And I went in and we were 15 minutes early, but I was just so panicked because of all of the previous failures. And I had a complete panic attack and dad was running around like a headless chicken trying to find the room where the interview was taking place. And he calmed me down. We took a few deep breaths and he said, you've got this. So I went out in and sure enough, I got a place. So now here I am 5 years later, nearly qualified.
Wow. And that's so special that your dad almost like walked you to that door, like literally.
Yeah.
What sort of things did he say to you before you went in?
Well, he had gotten me all these like interview prep books, which I read cover to cover. And then the nights leading up to the interview, I was practicing with him. So he was like the person who was letting me into RCSI or not. So he was just asking me things about the college. So when we were sitting in the car, he was just, because I was so panicked, he wasn't going through the questions with me. He was just kind of telling me to breathe and telling me, you know, they would be so lucky to have you on this course and trying to kind of build me up like that. So I guess with all of that, I went in feeling, okay, do you know what? I do have this. So I think you need to back yourself as well. Because even despite all of those previous failures, I think I took everything I learned from that in with me. And I was just honest, you know, when they asked me a question, if I didn't know the answer, I just put my hands up and said, oh, do you know what? I don't know, but I can find out. And that's what pharmacists do as well in real life. So I think that honesty and backing myself, all of that helped me to get a place.
That's a lovely story. That's a kind of journey you'll never forget. And I suppose any time you're facing something huge in your life, you'll probably go back to that prep that you did with your dad that set you onto this path now.
Yeah, totally. Like he always tried to fill all of us, you know, make us feel like we're important and we're special and we're unique. And I think we all do feel like that in a way. Obviously, we have our days where there's self-doubt creeps in. But at the end of the day, you know, you do have to just believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, then maybe other people won't either.
How do you kind of get into that mindset? Do you read a lot of books? You know, what sort of tools do you have? Because I think negative self-talk in the last year, especially where we all have so much time to kind of sit around and think. And I know I went through a really tough time in November, December, like questioning everything. My confidence was on the floor. It was just this weird kind of couple of months in my life. But, you know, is there any tips that you can give people to kind of quieten that voice that's derailing you?
Yeah, like as you say, I've had a similar experience to that as well. And I think we all have, you know, we're human. So I suffered quite badly a couple of years ago with acne. And I remember I couldn't even look in the mirror because I would just get so upset, or the amount of times I would drive to the gym and I was about to get out of the car, but I was so almost ashamed of my face that I didn't. And I'd just drive home. So that those feelings of self-doubt, they're so real. And they're, you know, I think at the time you think, this is, how am I ever going to get over this? But hindsight is so great. And I think I've grown so much as a person. And when you ask about what tools I use, I think gratitude, really. Like, I'm so lucky to be here, to live this day, to live any moment. So why would I spend that being so upset or being so anxious or fearful? And if someone doesn't like me, that's a reflection on them, not on me.
Yeah, I loved what you said a couple of weeks ago. Blowing out my candle won't make yours shine any brighter. And you've clearly got like a wise head on your shoulders. Would you say that is because of your relationship with your older sisters and your mum and dad?
Yeah, it's funny because only the other day when I went out on Sunday with the girls, they were all saying, like, I am 27 now, but they say I seem so much older. And I've gotten that all through since I left school. And I think it's 100% because of my older sisters. And then even I started working part time in a pharmacy when I was about 20. And all my friends then were in their 30s. One of them was 50. And these were like my best friends. So I think, you know, hanging out with older people as well kind of matured me or made me a lot wiser than my years.
Do you enjoy your own company? Are you kind of good at being alone?
Yeah, I do and I don't. Like, I love being occupied. I wouldn't say I ever get bored because I'm always doing something. By doing something that could be like Netflixing I'm happy in my own company, but I equally love to go out and socialize or be with my partner, be with my family. I do enjoy having time to myself as well.
I think that's like my biggest fear of the times we're living in is that I am so happy being at home. That's now, I think we've gone so far, I can't even imagine, you know, going into town or putting myself out there or doing something. And I think we've all kind of cocooned into our home environment and it's going to take a lot for us to get back out there. So for someone who has gone back to normal life in Australia, and I think you said to me earlier that you're going to a party, which is a foreign concept to us now. Mm. How easy is it to get back into the swing of things?
It can be quite overwhelming. Like, even I remember the first kind of 2 weeks, or even just as we got off the flight, one of the guys on Rob's team came to collect us and he had no mask and he went to shake our hands. And I looked at Rob, you know, we were both wearing our masks, and I said, what is he doing putting that hand towards me? Over here, you know, we've had no community transmission in over 9 months and everything is just normal. So at the start, I was quite overwhelmed and, you know, being in packed little places, in markets, things like that. But now, you know, it's normal again. Like, we're so adaptable as humans, and like walking into a shop now without a mask is totally normal. Whereas for the first couple of weeks, I was like, this is so strange. But, you know, we change behaviors just as quickly as we did before. But I think something that we've learned, and maybe one of the positives, is to not always be racing to meet 100 different people. Like, you don't need to be going out and burning yourself out and meeting all these groups of friends. It's equally important to have your own time. So I suppose when restrictions are lifted, it's important not to try and meet every single person under the sun, you know, because we need to just adapt slowly and integrate.
Yeah, that. Like, ease ourselves back in. And that's the good thing about COVID, is that hopefully we'll take all the positives from it.
Yeah.
The same with any sort of bad situation or any trauma that you go through, that hopefully you can take just the tiny things that were positive. And that's what I tried to do. And when it comes to now, you've gone from COVID life to normal life, and then you're going to come back to COVID life in May. What's that going to be like for you?
Oh, it's like, a lot of my friends have been asking me this recently, and I'm trying not to think about it too much because I'm just like, okay, do you know what? Live in the present. Don't think about the past and don't worry about the future. So who knows what May is going to look like back home. But I guess when I come back, I'll be working in the pharmacy, so I'll have a bit of routine. You know, I'll be going into work 9 to 5. So it will look pretty normal for me.
So how long then until you're qualified?
8 months from May.
Okay. And I think you've definitely probably realised over the last while how quickly time passes. So you only have to just do this 8 months and then you're free.
It's crazy. Like, I cannot believe how quickly the time is going here. Like, it's like we just blinked and all of the last couple of weeks have just vanished. I think I'll be home in the blink of an eye, but I would love to come back. It's just such an incredible way of life over here.
And do you think that that's a potential option for you, that in after you do your 8 month stint, that you could be going back?
Well, I'm actually qualified to work over here. Interestingly enough, it's just back home to get on the PSI register. I need to do this master's year. So I want to go home and do that so that I'm qualified at home. But the option is here to work or maybe open a pharmacy. One can dream.
Wow. And did you ever imagine that you could potentially be setting up a life in a different country?
God, no. Like, I'd never been away from Ireland longer than 2 weeks ever in my life. So, you know, to come away for 5 months and to have such a positive experience, especially after such a tragic, awful year, like, it's it's amazing what this country has done for my mind.
Wow. And when you speak about opening a pharmacy, and I actually heard from a lady in a pharmacy last week, and she's trained to be a health coach. So she's bringing in that kind of holistic side of things into the pharmacy side of things and kind of combining the two. Do you think we're going to see that more and more?
A lot more. Like, that's been taking little ideas from over here as well, because I just feel like they're kind of ahead over here in terms of health and food. And what I see a lot in chemists is kind of more homeopathy, some more natural remedies, which we're starting to see a good bit at home as well. So the pharmacy that I work in at home at the moment, she's also a herbalist. So she makes up all her own tinctures, and she sells all her own herbal supplements. So I think people are less reluctant to take something if they know, you know, it's homeopathic. So I think we'll start to see more of it. And then another area, which my mom will kill me if I say I'm going to study anymore, but acupuncture, because it's something I've started over here. But I didn't hear about it back home. I didn't know anyone that had done it. And it's something that I've been doing weekly now over here. So, you know, I might look at doing a course in that.
Yeah, so many people have gotten on to me about acupuncture and asked me if I tried it, just in terms of like anxiety and things like that. Is it good for that?
Well, so there's no kind of a such medical basis. Like, at least with, you know, prescription medications, they can go through these rigorous clinical trials. So we can categorically say, okay, this has an effect pharmacologically on this. These are the side effects. This is the safety profile. Whereas with acupuncture, because it's kind of an alternative medicine as such, we can't say for a fact that it does have this effect. Although if you look at kind of studies of people who have been getting acupuncture, say for regulating menstrual cycles, for acne, for anxiety, you know, the results do indicate that it does have a positive benefit.
That would be really cool then if you could integrate everything that you've learned about medicine, because obviously we're always going to need medicine. Medicine saves lives, but to also kind of bring in small lifestyle changes that we can take on as well as taking our medication, we could have just amazing results from that.
Yeah, well, I feel like, especially with my platform, I always try to first and foremost promote diet and lifestyle, because that's always got to be your first point of call before reaching for any sort of supplement or medication. So I think it would be really cool to tie all of that in together.
Oh, I'd be so excited to see what you do with that. So just leave you with this question, Jess. Three self-care techniques. If you had to pick three things, what would they be?
Talking, number one. I just find talking such a great way to get everything out. And it doesn't even have to be, this sounds so weird, but it's something that I do myself. You don't even have to talk to another actual human if you don't want to, but just speaking out loud and saying, I'm angry because of X, Y, or Z. Like, that physical action really helps to alleviate an emotional feeling. And then number two, getting enough sleep. Sleep is just so important. And then number three, probably physical activity, getting outside in nature. I know it can be hard at home with the weather, but I really find just even going for a 20, 30 minute walk, listening to a podcast or just some music and switching off from life as such, can do wonders for you.
Like, I went to counselling a couple of years ago and really found that counselling freed me. Like, I felt like I was holding so much tension, so much fear in my chest. And through talking, I really felt free and I felt like I could move on. And it was such an important step for me to take in my journey through life. And then a couple of months ago, like I said, having that tough time in November, December, talking. I remember one specific conversation. I was on the phone. I was talking to my mum in bed. It was like 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. And we just spoke on the phone for like an hour and a half. And I felt so free after it. And then as well, I think talking to people who are outside of your family. So I did a podcast with Dara Quilty at the start of this season, a friend who I haven't seen in ages, in years, but I actually felt like I turned a corner after kind of telling him a few things that was going on. Sometimes, like, a problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, you know, if you're not feeling comfortable to talk to obviously family or friends, there is so much back home. There's so many support lines. to reach out to as well. So it's something I really encourage.
Yeah, so important. And I'll put a few helplines in the episode show notes if anyone wants to check that out or feels like they need to talk to someone. Jess, so excited to follow the rest of your journey in Australia. You're making us sick with jealousy here at home, but we are so happy for you that you're living your best life over there. And I hope that you continue the adventure. I hope you continue to fill your days with joy. It looks like that's what you do. And we'll be so excited to see what you do next.
Thank you so much, Georgie. Thanks for having me on. And it was so lovely to chat.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast with thanks to Spotlight Oral Care. If you enjoyed this episode, please do leave me a review. You can check out more about my story over on thegoodglow.ie or follow me on Instagram, georgie.crawford.